Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. Thanks for taking advantage of it. And don't forget to check out all the things that are there, including the ability to subscribe to our free newsletter and check out our blog and our archives and the articles, lots of stuff. Probably about 600 Brain Trust members there who are lined up with good stuff for you. So check that out when you get a chance. Quinn Studer is a member of our Brain Trust, an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. He is the author of Hardwiring Excellence. He's has spent a number of years, many years, maybe even a couple of decades in the healthcare management field. Now he's in the regular management field for folks like you and me, and he helps people all over the country and halfway around the world put their best foot forward in the marketplace, especially with regard to the way they work with each other and how we employ our employees and put them to work and help them to be successful. Quint, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. So glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Quint, in the opener of the show today, I was talking about how much we love our small businesses, and I almost said how much we hate our small businesses. But I stopped myself because I don't know about other people. I've never really hated my small business. I've been aggravated at it. I've been perturbed at it. I've been, you know, disgusted a few times. But the more I thought about what was wrong, what I was aggravated about, the more I realized it wasn't the business's fault, it was my fault. I'll give you an example. I can remember being so aggravated my business couldn't grow any faster than it was growing. And then I realized it's not my business's fault that the owner undercapitalized it.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean? And so I realized, wait a minute, my business is actually doing pretty well, considering, you know, it has to put up with its owner. And so sometimes I know that we get that way with the human beings that are involved in our businesses. And I think it's important.
I think one of my favorite statements is progress, not perfection.
Exactly. And of course, you probably heard me say before, seek excellence, not perfection. And I agree with you 100%. And the thing is that sometimes if we're aggravated at our people, and we often do, you know, we really need to turn that mirror around on us and make sure that our people aren't mirroring either what we've told them to do or what we've allowed them to do or what we set them up to do. What do you think?
Well, I think one of my stories in my book talks about the fact that, I'd say about 15 years ago, I was very frustrated and I was going to change businesses, and I was telling people all the problems with the industry I was in. And then a fellow named Frank out of Palos Heights, Illinois, I was actually sort of networking with him, thinking he could help me get a job. And one day he handed me an envelope with three decals, and he told me to put one in my mirror at home, one in my mirror on the car, and one in my mirror at work. And the decals said, "You're looking at the problem."
Yep. That stung a little bit, didn't it, Quinn?
Well, I think you get aggravated, and I think when it comes down to it's just like you, it usually comes down to a little self-frustration. You know, I hired too quick, and I hired the wrong person. I should have said something to that person the first time, but I didn't. I should have probably let that person go, but now they've been with me for a while, and gee, I got a lot of work here, and what if I hire a replace? You know, how long will it take me to get a replacement? So I think it's very true. I think many times it's inside frustration that boils over to the outside.
Well, it does, and I really do. I agree with you, and I really think we've got to focus on what the challenge is. One of the things that you just said was this thing about I should have let that person go. You know, the truth is we often don't take that action out of what we think is benevolence, out of what we think is, you know, trying to redeem somebody. Maybe it's because we don't want to admit that maybe we made a hiring mistake. But the truth is when we have those feelings, we're not doing anybody any favors, are we?
No, in fact, when we do research, and as you know, we do a lot of research these days, and I have a new book coming out this fall, and I wrote 17 chapters for the publisher, and they wanted to sort of not have it sequenced like Hardwiring Excellence, which is more of a whole sequence story book. They
right.
wanted it to be where it was almost like somebody could grab it and pull a chapter. And when I gave them my 17 chapters, the number one chapter that they are leading the book off with that they thought is the most powerful is moving low performers either up or out. And our research shows that when companies have inconsistency, it's normally because they have a low performer or low performers that they haven't dealt with. And the other employees are inconsistent because this low performer just sucks the energy out of them at times.
One bad apple, right?
Yeah, and we find, though, you need specific training and methods to deal with it. And, you know, as you know, in any business, big or large, Jim, and I think sometimes small businesses think they're the only ones, but I tell you, I go into a lot of big businesses, and I ask people how many of them had formal training in management and leadership. 98% of them don't. They got the job because their boss quit, and somebody said, can you do it?
Hmm.
So when you're
yeah.
not training,
oh, yeah,
and
small in small business, that's classic in small business.
Classic and big businesses. I think sometimes
the only difference is, Quint, is in big business, they look around and they say, okay, which one of these five people can do the job? When it happens to small business, you know, we're lucky if we've got one person who can step up, whether it's the right person or not.
Well, and also in big businesses, I mean, you know, we deal with companies with, you know, thousands and thousands of people. If you have somebody that's not a performer, you might lose one out of 20,000. In a small business, you could
right.
be losing 20% of your workforce.
That's exactly right. So how do we fix this? How do we prevent ourselves from getting into this situation?
A couple of quick tips for the listeners. Number one is, and I know this is going to be difficult, but an evaluation system. Most small businesses don't have an evaluation system, and they just don't think they have the time. And a friend of mine, Rick Outson, owns a small business in Pensacola, Florida, with six employees, always stalled putting in an eval system with objective measurement because he thought he was too small. And he's mm-hmm. always trying to align behavior and, you know, get the staff to be in on time or get them to hit deadlines, and they'd be inconsistent. He put in a good eval system where they very much knew exactly what they needed to do to get a good evaluation. And all of a sudden, he called me and he said, it's magic. All of a sudden, they're aligning their behavior now. So step one is have some type of evaluation system.
Hold on to that thought, Quint. Quint Studer, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. His book is called Hardwiring Excellence. He and I will be right back. I'm going to ask him a little bit more about how to make that evaluation system part of our operation. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great time with our good friend Quint Studer. S-T-U-D-E-R is his last name, and his book is called Hardwiring Excellence. It's available wherever books are sold. And Quint, give us your website, please.
Yes, www.studergroup.com.
All right. Check that out when you get a chance. Quint, you were talking about having an evaluation system for your employees. And folks, we're talking about how to make sure that if you have a low performer, that you figure out a way to resolve that. Either they leave or they get redeemed, and you put them on another path. But one way or the other, you know, you got to fix it because you just don't have a choice. And so I like what you said a minute ago, Quint, about small businesses thinking that they're too small to have systems. They think that's sophistication. And let me tell you something, boys and girls. if in our small businesses, we need to be a little more sophisticated, especially when it comes to human resources. And Quint, go ahead. You were going to tell us how to establish this evaluation system.
Well, that, and of course, if they write me at Quint at Studer Group, I'll send them some samples. But
thank you.
I think there are two things. It's not a job description. I think where people fall into traps is they think they should judge people on their competency. And I can't tell you how many companies we go into and they're telling us if someone's competent. Well, there's a difference between competent and doing it. You know, I'm competent to know how to buy flowers for my wife. Now, the big question with her is, am I doing it or not? And so, for example, a friend of mine, Rick, who owns a small newspaper in town, basically he had deadlines, and, you know, he's always wanted to get it published, the paper to press by, it's a weekly paper, by 7 p.m. on Tuesday, yet some of his key employees wouldn't do it. Now in their evaluation, if they get it there by 7, they get a 5. If they get it there by 8, they get a 4. And he puts a weight on that. And that's the other thing. First, objective measurement for 5 or 6 key things. You don't need 100. And then weighting it on what's important. Because people usually want to know, how are you going to measure success and tell me my priorities? So those are, you know, and we can give them simple ways to create some type of evaluation. The other thing we find, Jim, is standards of behavior. You know, most companies sit down with your employees and say, how do we need to all behave to be successful? And you write those down, and the employees sign them, and now everybody agrees to certain behavior. And because what happens is people will say, well, somebody's competent, but they got a bad attitude. Or, you know, they're a good worker when they're here. And you just can't tolerate that because your other employees will think you're unfair. And I find what managers do is they judge themselves on things like fairness, which is like workload, salary, and benefits, when employees judge it on expectations. And like I said before, when we look at organizations and that don't hold significant excellence, it's usually because they have 1 or 2 low performers or more, that basically the high and middle performers get wore out by them. And if you'd like, I can give you some very specific tips with the low performers.
I would like that, but before you do, I want to come back to something we talked about at the very beginning.
Sure.
And that is, ladies and gentlemen, if you have employee problems, there's an excellent chance you have created those problems.
Right.
Not one way or the other. Back to the thing that you said about the little thing in the mirror that says you're looking at the problem. Either you hired the wrong person, you didn't train the person well enough, you expected more of them than they were capable of, or you left them alone, you didn't delegate to them, you gave them the responsibility, didn't give them the authority. Whatever it might be, you probably have created this. You need to come to terms with that, don't you, Quint?
Well, you need to come to terms with it, but you also can't hang on to somebody because of your own guilt feelings, or else you're punishing every worker. And I've certainly did that. I mean, I've done that before, and I made a bad hire, and I didn't want to admit it, so I hung on to it longer. And somebody told me one time, how do you know when you got to finally make the tough decision? I said, it's when you're worried about someone's success more than they are.
Right.
And we've all had that situation where we're sitting here worried, are they going to come in? Are they going to do their job? Mm-hmm. Are they going to treat customers right? And when we're more concerned about the success of themselves than they are, then it's usually time to make the move.
That's exactly right. And redemption is a great thing in management, but sometimes it isn't possible. Okay, Quint, give us some more tips.
Okay, we find just for your sake, when you identify low performers, we find a third of them, after a conversation, will probably and a good system will probably improve, so they stay. We find a third of them will probably, you'll have to fire yourself. And a third of them will probably self-select out when they know that they're going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually after they see somebody else go. So let me give you a quick system. We call it DESC. Number one, when you bring the person in, realize, and I know this is difficult, but you're probably better to practice this conversation with somebody else before the low performer.
Right.
Because the low performer is an expert in these conversations.
I only got about 45 seconds, Quint.
Okay. D, describe their behavior to them. That's the first part of DESC. E, evaluate exactly how you feel. I'm disappointed. You told me you wouldn't do this again. I'm disappointed because you signed our standards of behavior. S, show them exactly what you're expecting so they can't come back and say, nobody trained me, nobody know what's going on. And K, let them know the consequences. Describe the behavior, evaluate how you feel, show them exactly what you're expecting, and let them know the consequences. And the last thing is absolutely follow up every couple weeks until you're comfortable either they're going to keep the good behavior, the better behavior, or they're going to leave the organization.
When I was with Xerox, they used to call that performance improvement program.
Yep,
once you got on the performance improvement program, you either got better or you got out.
Yeah, we call it up or out, and it's on our website. We have tons of information on this because it is such a – it's the two issues that we find that people think about all the time is how do I hold people accountable and how do I deal with subpar performance.
And you can find that at studergroup.com. Thanks, Quint, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you so much, Jim, for what you do for small businesses.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Quint. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.